Greetings in the mighty and matchless name
Hallelujah.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Welcome to this God of Our Nation program, 10:30 every Sunday morning. So we say greetings from the studio here in Suva to all of you that are tuning live on Facebook of My TV, Facebook of New Methodist, and also on the big screen.
Hallelujah.
On the My TV. Oh, what a blessing to our nation that we have a program such as this, that God will download, hallelujah, His blessing, His word into you. And we take this time to greet you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To NCF, we take this time to say Mbulabinaka, Vikendana Vianyanu, Kimdo mai lau, katala kina kandabu, lo mai viti, kimdo mai asawa, Mbulabinaka, all the island zone and all the islands in the worship center. We take this time to say Mbulabinaka, Mbulabinaka mai, matabinaka mai, and matakani sikanidai. Sinule dhabi kimdo mai nabuliku, itaku sumai vikendu ni asipagara, asana umba, vikendu na vi sokosokolotu, and central kenda. Mission Sunday.
Thank you for all your
set
up.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ni mata binaka mai kero sabo kambule tugani en siga binaka ni kuwa sinule dami na eastern kambule tugani patalagi na vikem do mai wain buka tele unoth
amen
kambule tugani na hatha tale nitaka na biwa se ni kuwa the sharing that we will do this morning it'll be very powerful, very profound, and I believe it also important for you to understand and to know and especially to do it, and that's why we're saying hello.
Amen. Not forgetting the Western Division and as well as our foreign people. Nakabakalebu. Thank you, New Zealand. I saw your meeting yesterday on the regional coordinators.
Hallelujah.
And thank you, Australia. Thank you, Auntie Maroma, for the meeting on the women yesterday. Thank you, Europe. Thank you so much. Thank you for those of you who belong to the virtual zone of Nakabakalebu. Bula Vinaka all the way from Turaki in Suva. In Fiji, for those of you in America, thank you, Tanga Chavez, Auntie Sylvia, and Auntie Eleanor, and also Tanga Sisi. Not forgetting Tal Miro and Galiveri, all the way in Sacramento. We say greetings and we say thank you for taking the time to tune in. And not forgetting Tanga Tukana and Auntie Nena, and ASP Vika Fatumu, all the way in Hawaii. Thank you. Thank you for all of you who do not belong to New Methodist, but yet you have been a very good supporter to New Methodist in terms of your seating, in terms of your prayer, and being part of the big family of fellowship. We take this time today to also acknowledge you and thank you for all the heart that you have to believe in what we teach and to be part of this fellowship. We stand today to say big vinaka vakalev. And also an acknowledgement to the virtual conference that we had last week.
That was
very powerful. And not only that, very well attended, though, from the 14 countries involved, with about 85 to 90 members on Zoom or online for this virtual conference that we had for Saturday. And then we ended with a Sunday service at the Eastern Division. So we say thank you for all your commitment.
Yes.
We may not be meeting physically, but we are connected in the spirit.
Yeah.
And we stand here to say thank you for everything that you continue to do and everything that you continue to believe in this God that He can, only He can do in your life. So a big acknowledgement also to those of you who do not belong to New Methodist. No, you belong to any denomination either. Nor do you believe in anything that is called God. So you are actually just sitting in front of your television station or maybe you're watching through your phone, you know, being curious. What are these two talking about? Yet another Sunday, I see their faces again. We always come in every Sunday morning on the 10:30 service to say that we can teach on the kingdom principle and not only that, the kingdom economics against all odds, regardless of whatever that you're doing. It can be sickness, it can be family abuse, it can be domestic abuse, it can be all sorts of levels in different things that you go through. At the end of it all, the only thing and the only assurance that we can be bold to stand and share every Sunday morning, there is a reason for your season, which is only the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether you believe in God or you do not, or whether you go to an alternative denomination and you're not a member of any denomination, but if you have been part of this program since we started way back in March 2020, we would like to say yet again, thank you for being part of this fellowship, and thank you for believing in this God, and his name is Jesus. So on that note, I will pass to Ngaselevo. Today we would like to share a little more in-depth on giving. Praise the Lord, because in the kingdom economics, it's opposite to the secular, and it's always like that.
Totally opposite.
You know, in the secular or in the normal living, you won't want to give knowing that you have that very thing to live on. Say, if you have one chicken to feed your family for that particular week, and you know, you're convicted, or you look at another family that is in need, the thought of giving is not even there. All you have, your money all laid out and planned and budgeted for your payments, you know, your home financials for the week. All that money, all, you know, it has a reason why it's there, and you have your money in the bank, or you have your money in the wallet. But yet, when you look around and there is a need, or you hear of a need, you're oblivious and you are deaf or blind to that, because you're looking at your need first before you even think to share. But in the kingdom, it's totally different. Kingdom economics is totally different. You can be sitting on your need. Your bill can be due. But when you have the conviction from the Holy Spirit to convict you to give, that conviction is so strong and so, yeah, it's just so strong. I mean, I'm speaking from experience, that you will give. And with no question asked, to ask God, well, you tell me to give that. You know, how will I look after mine? That's not the question for you to ask. When you reach that level, the needs around you, because you can hear him well, and you give out to those needs, you are giving out of faith. And when you give out of faith, God looks after your need. Well, some of us haven't reached that level of giving out when you are in need, or giving out of your need. But the most powerful currency that you can operate on with your faith in God is for you to give out of your need. The very thing for you to live on. And you hold it and you see and you look around and God is trying to tell you, look, it may be befitting for you now, but it's more need to this particular family or to this particular individual. And that is where your relationship with God comes into effect, on how much or how strong do you trust this God. If I give that, you know, what will happen to me? The great things will happen to you because you step out in faith, and that is on giving.
Hallelujah.
Because I believe in the kingdom economics, you need to give to receive. If you don't give, you don't receive. For churches that are listening to me, are new Methodists, this is not new to all of us. When you give out of your need, your tithe must go. For all Christians that are actually watching us today, or you get to hear this program later, or wherever you are listening in from all over the world, you need to give. If you belong to a denomination, your tithe needs to go to your denomination. Or your tithe needs to go to the source of your hearing the word of God in your life. Wherever you are eating from spiritually, that's where your tithe goes to. Which means that you're going to church, and the denomination you belong to, your tithe goes there.
Yes.
And wherever. And that's why, like for me, if I receive people coming in off the streets, walking into my TV, and giving their tithe, being received at the reception desk, I take that because they are listening to the programs from my TV,
yes,
on all the denominations that are actually taking part through my TV television station, and they are feeding on that. They don't belong to any denomination, but they are feeding their spirit
from
the very thing and the platform of my TV. So when they walk off the street to come in, drop their $10 or drop their $2 or drop their $5 or drop their hundreds or drop their thousands, whichever currency and whichever amount that they bring in, I take that as a responsible for that, because they are planting into the very word of God that they hear through the television station. And that goes to all of you who belong to a denomination. You must give your tithe to where you are hearing or feeding your spiritual soul. And tithe, it's like, it's not a topic of discussion.
It belongs to God.
Yeah, if you're a Christian,
belongs to God.
It belongs to God. And with that thinking, if you look after the administration, if you give to the denomination you belong to, it looks after the administration of the church. And automatically, God looks after the administration of your home. So if you give the tithe, then he looks after your home. He looks after your rent. He looks after your meals you're supposed to be having daily. He looks after your electricity bill. He looks after all your bills because you are stepping out in faith. The amount is insignificant. The amount is not.
Just one tenth.
Yeah, it's just one tenth. Say if you're getting $50 a week, then you must give
$5.
Tenth of that, which is $5. And if you're getting $100,
$10.
Only $10. So it's never the amount, it's the
obedience.
The obedience to pay that tenth. And yet you have other offering. I teach the church for New Methodists. I know this is not new to you. When you know you're projecting, you're planning to buy a house, to buy a car, get the costing right down. Where did you see it? Take a picture. You know, you dream big, but you activate your dream. And then you start planting. If I'm giving a seed, if you belong to a zone and there are discussions going on to the zone, your blueprint or whatever the zone is involved with, or Mission Sunday, like today for the Central, write your list. Write your list. A house, a car, or my children, or little things, maybe so huge in amount and very less. Whatever it is, you write down all those in the list and then you activate them through your offering. You call them your activators, meaning I'm going to continue to give this and I planned in my life that I'm going to be doing this, and you circle it, the amount, whatever that you have a covenant with God. And that amount, one day or the other, you name it towards the activator for what you're sitting on. And I used to share way back when I was working at the airline, Gaselevo had a more senior position than mine. I started off as the clerk typist, went on to be the administrative assistant. After being the administrative assistant, then I went to be the staff travel officer. Then I became maybe 1 week old executive assistant, corporate. And then that position was wiped out again. Then I went on to be the customer relations officer, then project manager. And then after the project manager, the manager customer relations, and then I got offered for the general manager position. And I said, I think I've done my dues. So I walked out. And all those positions and the levels that I was going, because like physically, if you're applying to any organization, they will ask for your, you know, your CV, your credentials, your certificates, or whatever that you have achieved. But for me, I started work when I was only in the first term or first month of Form 6. So I started working very early. And all the courses that I wanted to do, because we went earlier into the church and the founding of the ministry, all the finances that I have projected to then, I have the time because I've got my four children and I'm ready to do my studies. But didn't happen. It went automatically to the church. And with that, that was happening. So I always write activator. I give my tithe, direct deduction from my pay, and I always have activator. I even dream of what I want my office to be. And yet, I was not a senior staff. But with that dream, believing in this God and activating it with my giving, it took me from one level to another, to another, to another, and the highest level that I could even project or for anyone working in the airline, and to walk away from there. And for me, I take that all into the giving. So I'm sharing this with you because you can be sitting on your need for foreign. You can be sitting on your visa, maybe you're applying for your residential visa for England, for Europe. You may be applying for your ILR. You may be applying for your citizenship. A lot of things that you're sitting on. Or you want to buy property in England, in Scotland, in any other country, in Germany, or in New Zealand and Australia. You know, things which you look and said, okay, no one has ever done that before. Oh, it's so huge. It's so expensive. No, don't be, you know, taken up by the mountain that you look at. You, in your spirit, you're a go-getter. And you know, you believe in this God. If you're giving your tithe and you activate it, so you're giving, you give to receive. Don't just give and keep on looking at, okay, what am I getting out of my giving? No, it doesn't work that way. You give because you love God and you know that it's a teaching and it's a principle, a godly principle from the Bible. And so when you give, you will receive. So when you give your time, yes, obviously God will look at a way to reward you back. So the volume of your receiving, you cannot measure, because you cannot measure that of your faith in giving. So it becomes your tithe, your offering, your activator, and all those areas in whatever, in your family, in your workplace, in your zone, in your worship center, in your community, within your family, your relatives, anything can happen. Anything can happen because you believe not in the capacity of what you can get or who you are, but you totally believe in this God who can do all things.
The Bible says, See, all this explanation is biblical. Jesus said, give,
hallelujah,
shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
There is a connection of those that are not giving and the level of poverty that you receive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For those that have a big heart to give, that means they trust in God. They have faith in God. Regardless of what they have, they trust in God because the word says, not Peter, not John, Jesus said,
hallelujah,
kasarang autisu, don daw soli. Dua. Don daw soli. Iko mo zakaba don daw soli. Iko barong tumunyuko, iko lengatiko. Tabu tu, rendretiko. Ekani mo tamo, don daw soli. Enangay soli mi ike mundo, wakarobi naka, tambag sobu, kuretaki, wumbalisara. Hareza?
Luke 6:38.
Ngona nona bosa natura. I'm not talking about tithe. We don't talk about tithe when it comes to giving.
Mm.
Tithe, it belongs to God. Niko suliana no mu tithe, ando atantala level ya. Ia niko sangame suliana no mu ziwa na ikatini. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Niko suliana tini pasende. Kongai, wakaya ngatakatal na, ziwa sangamulu na pasende. Hallelujah. Sangole nga biko. Because, of course, we have option to give or not to give. Iyo chisu ekatiko, Jesus said, in Luke 6:38, that when you give, it shall be given to you.
Hallelujah.
Not only given, good measure. Not only good measure,
press down.
And then second, make sure there is no part of the container.
No gaps. Fill up all the gaps.
And then after that, running over. That means to the brim and running over.
Overtakes you.
So that means your hands are very powerful to help others.
Yes.
When you are ready to give, you are ready to be. God will use you to be a source of blessing,
hallelujah,
to people around you. Romana, and I say, Lutu Melo Malay. And Allah may be at Mate, Wombal and Elondra. It's a Wombal and Elondra, Wombal and Lingandra. Kusa to note, in Duna Isema, Itiko, a level in Numrua, Kin a level in Numumangi. And this is something, I mean, Urnondangase, Loma Levu, Loma Savu. And the two of you are going to be a good thing. But you are going to be a good thing.
Hallelujah.
But today we are living, and the world is putting us in a pressure cook environment. That is from the world.
Hallelujah.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit is challenging us today. We were coming to the studio, and we were talking about the giving.
I think you should share that slowly because I believe most or some that are listening today, they can identify with that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't realize, but it's there. That spirit, that heart of not wanting to give because it's like, the experience, like you never had it, but when you have it, you don't want to let go of it. It's like, I want it all for myself, that kind of feeling.
Yeah, but then you know, you sa may zaka kina, sa rawa. Unni sa rawa kina, sa lola ko sa kawita ki ko nga, but then experience ko durubo.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that you are becoming very selfish.
Yes.
Yeah. Indu na buno ko susumay kina ni alinga sabota mamu linga sabotina mo ni ambalta ni ko may tuis subo ko lamay.
You went through struggle, eh? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, na pocket money man tanga rin 5 cents na, 5 cents na kailibo. Yung ato pa buliro na 5 cents si doga. Ningo nung sali talaga kina. And then you remember.
There were a lot of 5 cents.
And you remember.
Oh, hallelujah!
The struggle you went through.
Yes.
So you don't want to.
Yeah, you want to share. Hallelujah.
To kill poverty and lack.
Amen.
He's not a man to lie.
Yeah.
No, son of man. He will watch over those words, including.
Yeah.
Luke ono tolualu, including
he will
Luke
watch
6,
over until it come to pass in
when
your life.
You give,
oh, hallelujah!
Will be given good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over. Yanan dina ni mo sa nikalo. And we've been operating on a go le tiko na bulani rendini. Lako ngamai. Lako ngamai lako. Yana lebu ngani lako.
Lebu ni lako mai. Hallelujah.
This is a practical Christianity.
I believe when you are selfless, you kosengeni no numi ko pakalebu, then your heart is big to look out and consider the need of others.
Because you are not looking at yourself.
At yourself. Yeah, the very thing, I think that's most vital. Yeah. Very important. And that's, it's natural for human being. But you're living in this dream. Oh, one day it's going to feed me. One day it's going to feed you. But let's not alone. So you need to consider people around you. You need to consider and hear him. Because one thing that I see with your relationship with God or with mine that I can share, as you know him, when you get closer to him, when you know him, when you know your creator, the very one who calls life to death, the very one who spoke and you came to be, the very one who created you, the very one who spoke and everything came to be, when you know him, you wouldn't miss his voice. You will hear him. Even in the depths of it all, you can double to. I mean, I'm speaking from experience. I can be sleeping in the middle of the night and he'll wake me up. He'll show me a family's face. He'll show me an individual. And then I'll be asking myself, okay, what do I do? What do they need? What shall I do? And all throughout my life, I've just been living through that way, hearing him all the time. It can be in the midst of my need. It can be in the, the height of my sickness or being weak, lying down in bed. For this God, it's just amazing. So don't serve him because you want something out of him. Serve him because you love him. Don't serve him because you have nothing to do on Sunday and then you say to yourself, on the little auto because there's nothing to do anyway. No, don't do that. You serve him because you need to serve him.
Hallelujah.
Because you need to. Because if you don't, the very breath you have, it's at the feet, tips of his finger. Because something required for you, for me, the way I serve him, it's like I need to serve him because my breath comes from him. And if I don't serve him, I try to switch my mental in such a way to condition my body and my spirit to serve him. Because if not, it's up to you. You only serve him when you really need it. You only serve him when you're really in trouble, when you're in sickness. You only serve him because, God is trying to get your attention. No, you serve him because without him, you don't exist. You serve him because he's the giver of your life. You serve him because he's the determiner of your life. You serve him because he's the ordainer of your steps. He watch over every step. No, he watch over your life. So serve him because you love him. And with that within you, you will hear him all the time. I do. I can, like when he speaks, it's like he controls my whole body. Well, he's my creator.
Hallelujah.
All I can hear, I can hear the throbbing voice. I can hear that loud voice in my ears that cancel everything about my life. My TV or ministry, wherever I am, I can have a lot of news flowing through my mind. But when he speaks, everything stands still. And I can only hear him. Not until I finish what he wants me to do, then I'll come back to my normal. And I look around and say, okay, did I just do that? Well, I needed it here, but did I just do that? Well, I couldn't do anything about it because my creator has controlled my life. And when you serve him, and you say to yourself, okay, if I give this, it may not come back to me. If I give this to my pastor, it may not come back to me. Look, in the physical, they are the body of Christ right there in front of you, and you become the denomination member. But at the end of the day, behind them, that is God. You are giving it to God. Take away the look of your denomination, the look of your church. You are giving it to God. We can't have a new Methodist. In the Solution going on the Mission Sunday. So let you go. Like I always share on Monday in the regional leaders training. Whether you give or don't give, don't ever think that your mind is coming to run New Methodist. No, don't ever enter that in your mind. Because if you give or don't give, oh my God, He will provide. I mean, He has proven, He has shown, He will continue to do so. And every time, I'm always telling you, Oikomosoni, not to benefit the church, but to benefit you. Because you meet in the principle of God, and you are actually open the door for God to be able to come into a situation and do something about it. God's hand is tied. He can't do anything. Because God only works according to His word. Not about everybody's explanation. Not about, you know, what you think. Not about your condition. And you're thinking, okay, I'm really in lack and I'm going to church. God is supposed to help me. No. He will look at your situation, but He will not help you. You will need to give. That's the principle. You give and He comes back. You love God and then He loves you with everything. He takes you in the way you are. You can be the sinner you are. You can be lacking in so many ways. But from today, you make a promise and make a decision in your heart. I'm going to rise, maybe not to the level that we are anticipating you to be, but raise to another level. Try and tweak the little things of your life. If you haven't been going to church, well, find a church to go to. Take your children to church. And I remember way back, there was a question asked to this daughter, and this is the mother who was sharing with me, and I know you may be listening in today too. And she said, Auntie Ray, we used to go to church, and then something happened. We stopped going to church, and every Sunday, it's like a good day for us to go for a movie, and then they always go for a movie. And not until their daughter went on to school. And the teacher asked, okay, on Sunday, where do people go on Sunday? Oh, we go to church. So she was asking around the name of the church and came to her daughter. And when the teacher asked her daughter the name of the church, she mentioned the cinema. You know, sometimes we say to ourselves, okay, we don't really need God. Yes, you can afford your life. You have everything that you ever wanted.
Yes.
Who is God? You know, begin to ask yourself, who is God? This is my life. I've earned everything. I managed this. And I've worked hard for what I have. At the end of the day, one day, there will be the buckling moment for you to feel that there is the God and His name is Jesus. All you need to do is to love Him. All you need to do is to live a life that is worthy of His calling. What is the life worthy of His calling? That integrity, the life of a good heart, the life of looking out for other people around you. Yes, you can still achieve. You can still succeed. But you have a better, cleaner, clearer heart and a sound mind with clarity that you have all the integrity, not made by man, the integrity given by God.
The Bible says hallelujah. In Psalm 127, if God does not build the house, then the builders will work in vain.
Hallelujah.
If God is not watching the city, and those that watch the city will watch in vain.
Hallelujah.
Early in the morning you rise, and late at night you come back, and you eat the bread of sorrows.
Amen.
While God give peace or sleep to those that love.
Oh, hallelujah.
You can say, maybe some of us, we never go to church, we don't believe. You said, I achieved this, I'm holding this position. But my friend, the peace that you are searching for, that no alcohol, that no sex, no achievement, no position in this life can give to you. The Bible says, the peace that I'll give to you is not the world can give to you. Because the peace that the world gives to you is only very limited,
hallelujah,
very short-lived. And that's why a lot of people, maybe you're earning, maybe you're achieving, but the peace that you are searching for, it's not there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. While people die laughing, you will die worrying. That's why it's important for us to understand that there is a God. There is a supreme God.
Oh, hallelujah.
There is a God that is alive. And His purpose is for us to enjoy this life. And
the
after that,
life.
You enter into His kingdom. And
oh,
that
hallelujah.
Is the kingdom of heaven. Now, back to our giving. Our giving is not, hallelujah, it's not the blessing to the church. It's not a blessing to the pastor that you give. No, it can be. But the giving is the blessing to the hand that give.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when you are giving, because I've come through that, and I start to realize that the more I give,
the more
I receive. Because the level of my receive depends on the level of my giving.
Yeah.
And that is the principle. That's why Jesus speaks a lot on fishermen and those farmers. The more that they invest into the land, the more harvest comes. See? That is the principle of giving. That is
Amen.
The principle of giving. the principle of sowing and reaping. And the devil is very smart. The devil wants us not to give because he knows when we give to God, God will multiply according to his word 5 times. It will be given good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over.
Oh, hallelujah.
And when we are lack, we can curse God. That's what the devil and make us run to the moneylender and make us go and carry here and carry there. So we are not fulfilling in what we
Amen.
Are doing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because the devil is a deceiver.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The giving is part and parcel of God.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he
gave only son.
So the giving attached with love. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
When you love people around you, when you love your family, you will give. You give your time, you give everything that you have.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. I mean, it's a good conversation that we're having this morning because we actually can talk about the level of not knowing about giving and coming to the realization of knowing the powerful of giving.
Oh.
I struggle when we started with Ngasilebu. Sometimes if I give out things, you know, he'll turn to me and he said, did you really need to give that? Why we're sharing this? Because it can be the same conversation are you having at home with your husband and wife. The same conversation that you're having, and you're going to church. So don't be ashamed of it. Yeah, those conversations are bound to happen. It should happen before the breakthrough happens. Those conversations, the differences, because you're brought up from two different backgrounds, a different family. I mean, we came from two different families, and as we, create our family and work our family out, those are the little things. I see things differently, and he does, but that's part of the package of being married, and it's a give and take. So most of the time, if I give out, and then, we'll be sitting, and then he'll be saying, seeing another senior pastor wearing the shirt, and he'll turn to me and he said, that looks like my shirt. I said, it is your shirt. And he said, you've given it. Instead, I gave out one suitcase out. I thought, you have more than enough. And sometimes, there'll be two suitcases, so I will tell him, can you call a senior pastor this and senior pastor there to come and pick up their suitcases? And then he will say, suitcases of what? Instead of your clothes. I don't see you using it often. So I pack them in the suitcase if you can call them to pick it. Those kind of thing. And I say, like for him, he's even trying to find space to put his shirt and place his clothes.
No.
And I was telling him, those are the things that come when you give. And I'll take us back. I don't know whether you remember. We were in England, and we usually go down for Christmas and sometimes New Year. And there was this particular year that we were there. I can't really figure out which year was it. But I think it was 2010. I can't really remember. And we were in a camp. There was a conference for the whole week. We were in a different camp. And that evening, we were supposed to have the New Year service. And usually when we go, and my family knows, when we go, my suitcases, I can be taking two because we go to Korean Air and you're entitled to the two suitcases because of the morning cards. And those two suitcases, and they know, even their suitcases, I'll be calling out, okay, don't pack too much. You can give me some space. And those space was just to pack biscuits for the family back in Europe.
Bean,
and I know Europe, you know what I'm talking about, Germany and Scotland. So when they're coming all over Europe to meet in England, I pack biscuits that can cater the whole 20 families all over Europe, and bongos and twisties and whatever.
Bean.
So I look for the very smallest space for my clothes. And I just take clothes enough for the week for the conference. And after that, then I will leave all my clothes back. I'll buy, he knows what I'm talking about, and I'll buy a skirt and a top or buy something to wear back home. And I'm coming back home with, nothing. And this particular year, I was doing the same thing. So we were working towards our evening New Year service within the same camp. And I was writing the normal thing. Europe, you will understand what I'm talking about this morning. So I usually wrap down the paper and write down their names, family names, or women, or they can fit into my dresses. And so the whole clothes wrapped up was on top of the bed. And I was trying to put them in the bag and suitcase to take it to church and after church to clear. Because on the very next day, we were flying back to Fiji. And he came, he looked at the two empty suitcases and said, so what are you going to take back? And I said, no, nothing, it's okay. And what are you wearing? Don't worry, tomorrow we're just going to look for something for me to wear back. And that was it. I pack up all these things. So, and about 4 hours before the service, we receive a call. Oh, the venue has changed. It's not going to be happening in the camp where you were at. Now it's changed. It's going to be moved to Gosport, which is another place. And we said, okay. So we went there. And even then, we packed the suitcases, went in the car, went, and then we had the service, New Year service, good, powerful New Year service. And at the end, usually, on the last day that we are in England, we usually have our headquarters meeting with the headquarters staff that are out there, Talanga Sokoto and all this staff. And after the service, everybody have gone out, got for a refreshment, and we said to have the meeting. So Espikoto came, and he said, that lady would like to see you. And said, which lady? And she's sitting right in, right there in front. What do you think? We have our meeting or you would like to see her? And I said, okay, just call her. I'll speak with her and then we'll have our meeting. So she came. And I know you're listening to it this morning. So when she came, when she spoke, the voice sounds so familiar. And but I couldn't, you know, just couldn't get her face. And I can't remember her name. And as we spoke and she said, for 3 years, I used to call you for prayer, and I'm glad that I worked in London. I was glad because when I was in the office today and I saw in the Facebook that you people are having your service in this camp, and this is where I stay. I'm close to this camp. I said, okay. I said, I can't remember. I said, no, we haven't met, but I've always called you for prayer. And then I said, okay, no wonder your voice sounds so familiar. And then she said, we've just bought a house. We would like you and your husband to come and pray over our property. And I said, okay, we will come. We'll have our meeting. After the meeting, on our way back to where we stay, we'll drop by at your place. So we had our meeting, and then we dropped by at her place. When I walked into her house, it's a three-level
property.
Beautiful. It's like I'm walking into those homes in the magazine. Beautiful. I was, you know, I love creating things, but when you walk into one, you can just easily identify, you know, the branding and everything. So I walked in and said, man, you've got a very beautiful home. So beautiful. So we came, we sat in the lounge, and then she said, I want to show you the other two levels. I said, okay. So we went up. On the second level, it's like her walk-in wardrobe. And on the third, the kitchen's downstairs. When he came back to the second level, she said, she stood in the middle of that and she said, Randini, would you like to choose anything you want from this room? And I said, no. The shoes is all over the floor. It's like you're walking into a clothes department store and or a boutique for that matter. Everything draped in plastic. And the tags, you can still physically see the price tag of those clothes hanging out. And I look at her and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And she said, I haven't met you, but I've just been burdened. If you can just choose some of the clothes you want to take with you and the shoes, and said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll go back downstairs. You do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Only then, if he tells you to do it, then you do it. But I'm not going to do it. So we came down, we had our dinner. And on our way back to where the hotel that we were staying in, then I saw Talanga Sokoto, which I know you can identify with it this morning. I think that it was Talanga Sokoto. We have a Talatamani Bulumbulu. A few people were there with us that particular night. And he had these two big suitcases. I looked back and I said, what are those suitcases for? And he said, no, the lady has packed the suitcases for you. And I said, okay, thank you. So we went. When we reached the hotel and I opened these two suitcases filled with branded clothes, they were... I just counted the dresses. There were 70 dresses with price tag. And then she texts to say, if you don't be, you know, taken away by the tags on the dresses. And she said, I live on this high end, I work on this high end street in London. And every time I walk across this boutique of clothes, that ranges from 400 to 1,000, 3,000 pounds. And then she said, I'm always waiting. When it's on sale, and that's when I go. And you know, when they clear it, that's when I buy. And then she said, for 5 years, 5 years ago, she was doing that, buying that. Not until the day I walked in for us to go and pray for her property or for her newly bought property and house. Then she said, when you walked in, I didn't realize all the clothes that I was buying for 5 years was actually for you. Because the size, the design, and everything was just for you.
Hallelujah.
And it's just amazing. And then I look back and I said, every year I've been coming, and all I do is leaving my clothes behind, taking the biscuits up. I never anticipated that. I never even thought of that, but God did. So your giving, it's not only money. Your giving is giving your time. It's giving the little things that you have at home. Giving the best, because God wants you to be living in the best. Don't settle for anything less. You are settling for anything less because you're giving whatever the leftovers you have in your life. Because you need to go to Vovo Nika, Vovico. Navava Sava, Nesulu Sasinero Chico, Nesulu Makawa, you can get Sinitico. No, give your best and don't settle for anything less. If you want the best, then you need to give your best. Best out, best in. Whatever you give out, it comes back to you.
I want to
and
speak.
And there's no, yeah,
I
no
want
ending.
To speak again on the suitcase.
Hallelujah.
That you are talking about going to. I learn a lot from that because we work in the airline. We travel a lot. And every time we travel, and overseas church will know. And every time we travel, we also have a scale, always. Always in my bag.
Wear your suitcase other than being told at the counter.
And the people will think that that's all clothes. No. These are the bean, the lakari, the
murku.
The bongo, the twisties, this for the church out there.
In other things, when, there, yeah.
When she's explaining and sharing, this is our secret that we are sharing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That 70 dresses branded. So when you talk about 70 pounds, that's times three. So when you talk about 100 pounds, you talk about times three. So yeah, all these branded
yeah. And all those price tags, the littlest, I mean, the very smallest amount that I can see was £300. All the rest was £300 up. I mean, who does that? And that's God. Because it's not that I pray to God and say, Lord, I would like some clothes. I'm giving out some clothes, but I would love some clothes. But I didn't say that prayer. You know, it's the very life that you live as you give. He floods you back with, unfathomable. Your mind cannot even fathom the great things that he does. I've lived a life knowing and believing who God is. Maybe for some of us Christians, you're logging in this morning, you serve him just on the surface. You serve him because you need to serve him. Or you serve him because you come from a Christian house and everybody needs to worship Jesus. Or you serve him because your husband go to church or he's a pastor. You serve him for, you know, totally different reasons. But for me, I serve him because I know him. I serve him because there is no other life that is more meaningful to me without him. I serve him because he is the core of my life. So everything that I do, I don't do things waiting on him to give me anything. No, I do it because I love to do it, because I love my God. And sometimes at home, I can be giving out the food, And when we sit down to eat, and then I'm saying, what are we eating? And then they say, Mom, don't you just realize you've given away all the food? And I said, okay, we serve tea and noodles. So it's like, no issue. You move on. You know, like, it's amazing how you can have that relationship with God and you're so content.
And you are giving out chicken and fish and then we have noodles and egg. And that's normal. Or even biscuits.
It's not that we don't have it. We have it. But that contentment that only you can find in God.
Because the food that we give, because when we look at Luke 6, 38. Yeah. Because the things that you give satisfy you.
Amen.
In your mental, in your physical, and in your spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. So, na kanda may kotho watiko baka yango.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we give, when we open, because it's according to his word.
Yes.
It's his principle.
And as you explained, there is a relationship on the giving and the heart.
Yes. You cannot give until your heart is good.
Yes.
Your hands giving out.
Yeah.
Because the performance of your hands depends
on the heart.
The condition of your heart.
So kita mata ela vai quando singing do solica, que kita mata ela ngingo e kusin solica, que kita mata do vingati kusin ro solica. Yeah, you come in kanelum. That's why we'll always drum this program that you must have a good heart. A new Methodist, you must have a good heart. Elomo we can run, you know, allow bygones to be bygones. Kita ka so da kai e other week you don't really like it, okay. Say it out, spew it out. Talk it out, scream it out, yell it out, and then say, okay, Thank you. I'm going to go this way.
Because when
so you need to clear your heart.
When your heart is clear, then your hand will do the hands of God. You become the hands of God. You become the mouth and the words of God.
Yes.
Because your heart, everything begins.
Yeah. And then it becomes genuine. Your giving becomes genuine. You don't give because you want something in return. You give because you love to give. You give because you love the person you're giving to. You give because you heard right from God, you know, to give into that situation. And I've just written something down this morning when I was, waiting for Gasilevu to come back. I remember when we were preparing, I don't know whether you can still remember the year, that we were preparing for Pastor Ophir or SB Ophir's a wedding. And in that particular year, we were so bogged down with travel and conferences in England and Australia. And we were just in and out of the country. And even myself, in my heart, I've got this sinking feeling. Oh, man, you know, I haven't had enough time to plan my daughter's wedding. And everything I was looking for, easy way out, looking for caterer, because I don't like asking the church, and the church is listening to me today. I never want to ask the church to do my song because their level of faith, not to my level of faith. I don't want to rely on them too because, you know, like it's my personal thing. It's mine, not the church. And it's just amazing. And that particular year, my mind was racing. And I remember the day my daughter came knock on my door. Fia, I know you remember this day. And she knocked and said, Mom, can I see you? And I said, yeah. And then when I looked at her, she had tears in her eyes and said, Mom, do you realize that I'm getting married next month? And I said, yes, you are. And I said, yeah. And then she said, I haven't heard anything or seen anything. Like, Mom, like nothing is happening, but my wedding is next week. And I know, you know, in my heart, I know my daughter is getting married, but with a program that was in hand and we were in and out of the country, I just didn't have the time to sit. So, and I said, you know, be rest assured that this God is in control. So I hugged her. And usually one night every week, we usually go together as a family, take our mat, and I go down to the seawall, and we'll spread the mat, buy our dinner, bring dinner from home, sit there and watch the grandchildren play. And it's like our family time out, prayer and eating out in the evening. But we go to the picnic park. And we went the next day, so we draw the dress, set with SP Fia and Kola. So we start drawing the dress, and she said, I would like a dress like that. So we started designing her dress and said, okay, look it up in the Google. Where can we buy that? And I said, okay, China. And said, okay, how long? So whatever that we were trying to do was running short of time. And then we had 1 week, a conference in England before her wedding in March. And I told her, whatever address when you order, you give England. Because I will be in England, and I'll pick it up on the way back to Fiji. So that conversation was happening. And on our way out, to fly out, I went and explained to my cousin, thank you, designed a dress for her. So there wasn't a moment of planning or months of planning. It was like this birth moment. And that particular, before the dress thing happened, one evening, we planned out, and I was telling her, because we used to go down to the bowling club. My husband used to love his suite from there before, the bowling club before. And I told my two daughters, okay, you two go and see this chef and then ask him whether they can cater. So we had a target visitors or guests of 1,000. So 750 was for the, you know, general catering, and 250 was for the VIP. Even then, I had left my work in 2011/12, and this was 2015. There was no source of money coming in for my salary. No, I wasn't getting anything. But I had faith with everything that God was using me to do for his kingdom, or me doing it for his kingdom. I was so confident of him that I would say, Lord, out of all these years of knowing you, whatever that you tell me, I always do it. I'm so confident you will look after my daughter's wedding. And that was it. I didn't want to check where the money was coming from. I just have that faith and contentment and peace that he was going to do it. So they went and had a meeting, came back with an amount. So for $750 for $15 per head, came to about $11,250. So for the $250 in the VIP and the $20 per head by another caterer, came to about $5,000. And we went as a family because they were going for that meeting. And I said, I'm not going to come to the meeting. You people go to the meeting, choose the man who do whatever. I will look for the money. So we were sitting at Tapu's. Tangasimori, I think you'll be, you'll remember what I'm sharing today. So we are Tangasimori. We have us, Gasilevu, myself, and SB Elijah, and the two girls. So we sat there. And before we went to sit, because they were going to go for the meeting, for them to pay at least a deposit for the 750 heads. I went with my husband to BSP, put in my card. I came back. The balance was $3.89. I'll remember that balance. That balance, like big bold letter to me until today. $3.89. I said, oh, okay, man, I've got $3.89. So he looked at my son and said, okay, this woman is crazy. You know, like, what is $3.89? But for me, it's like, okay, $3.89. So we came, we sat, and now we were having coffee, sitting around. So I was briefing them, okay, the menu selection and everything. After this, we should go for the meeting. We're going to go. And I tell him that we will pay a deposit by next week. And yeah, we had our meeting, we had our meals. So as we stood to leave, Tapu City on the fourth floor, this voice, like, that's what I'm saying to you this morning. When you know him, oh man, it's so exciting. When I stood up, this voice just say, check your balance. So I look at them and said, can somebody else take my card? Because if you know, at Tapu City, the BSP is right in the Never Never. No, it's right in the corner. And the ANZ at least is closer. No one, you know, like, they say, okay, you're crazy. You just told us you have $3.89. No, they didn't want to say it, but I can read it in their face. No one bothered. They were all standing there. I said, can somebody go and check my balance again? And no one responded. I can't remember who it was that ran. I think it was either SBTRA or Kula or SB Elijah. I said, please, somebody just take and check me the balance again. So whoever it is went, checked the balance. When he came back with the balance, boy, he was beaming with a big smile and said, oh, in my honor, said, man, thank you, Lord, what is it? So when they came and I said, what is it? So one small piece of paper, you know, the ATM, a balance print. When I look at that, it had 12,000. Within a span of 2 hours of sitting around there discussing the menu and whatever that we were doing, the $3.89 changed to $12,000. I looked at it and I said, okay. You know, in my heart, I said, maybe something is wrong. Maybe something. And then I just looked at him and said, man, I've got $12,000. Oh, you can pay the deposit. So we were so excited. We came down the lift, and then I received this email. And I know maybe you are watching me this morning, and this is a testimony of what you did to me that day. And I look at that email. The email said, Auntie Ryan, I managed to get your account number from the headquarters at BSP. And I just wanted to let you know that I put across the money. I actually received my FNPF. And this is from a lady all the way in Europe. And then she said, my family, they've moved on. I've lost my grandparents. They brought me up. And I look at the money. I don't really, have any immediate use for it. But I'm emailing you just to let you know that I placed this amount into your bank account. I mean, the timing and what he did. So it can be something you're giving now, but how it comes back, you won't be able to fend it off.
God's timing.
I mean, we did the wedding. Everything just happened the way it's supposed to be. Because I believe, not because of who I am, not because of what we do, but it's because of your giving. So, and give with a good heart. And also, when you see people giving, don't have a bad heart. When you see people receiving, don't have a bad heart. Or if you're looking and said, oh, you know, we came in, we have a more valid reason to be given a visa. But how come those people are given their visa? Have a good heart. We have every 101 reason to say that you justify yourself. You're supposed to be receiving. Or you're working in a company and you're trying to argue yourself out. Man, I work. I report in on time. I knock off on time. I stay late.
Supposed to be promoted.
But this person hardly do anything, but yet have got higher salary level as me. Have a good heart. So today, at the end of this service, when you have Holy Communion, I will need you to check two things. Check the window of your heart that is good. And also check your giving, whether it's good. Are you sharing your food? Are you sharing your plate? Are you sharing whatever that you have? It's not only money. It's everything about you that you know you can bless another soul.
You know, most of the time, we are very good in theology.
Yeah, we can talk
about the word of God. But my friend that you're watching today, it is the practical things that you do.
Oh, yeah.
This is what calls the blessing.
Hallelujah.
So I want to challenge our life today. It's the practicality. If you are not giving, forget about receiving.
Hallelujah.
If you are not giving, I'll say that again, forget about receiving. If you are not praying, forget about power. If you are not acknowledging the Holy Spirit, and forget about the revelation.
Amen.
There are work to do in the kingdom. And that work is fasting and praying. Work on your heart.
Yeah.
Work on your hand to give. And God will answer you. Most of the time, Christians are way, way behind in our receiving, in the things that we receive, because we are not giving. And I want to challenge our life today.
Amen.
As we go to the Holy Communion today, I want to challenge our life. Make sure that you give. Give and give and give, because Jesus said, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over. The level of your giving will be the level
of your receiving. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be having a Holy Communion this morning, and I believe this Holy Communion for you and for all of us will be a Holy Communion for those of you who haven't endeavored to give and have a good heart. So it works both ways. It cleanses your heart for a new start, and also it generates a heart of giving towards God. Because in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says that no eyes shall see, no ears have heard, no heart can even conceive everything and anything that God will do for those who love Him. So one take that you must take with you today is that Mark 12:30. You need to love the Lord your God. That's the first commandment. You have to love Him. Love Him with your heart. Love Him with your soul. Love Him with your mind. And love Him with your strength. Everything about you, you need to love Him. Because only when you love Him, then you will look around and you will hear Him. You will have a good heart towards people around you. So the heart of the matter is your heart. And on that note, I will ask of you, as you have your bread and your Holy Communion, regardless, worship center, individual, family, or zone, wherever you're standing, I get ready. And this is today is just for you. I forget about the people around you. It's just for you to fix you. Fix your heart and also fix your spirit and ask God to elevate and raise your level of faith. Whatever sickness you may be sitting on today, receive your healing from God. Whatever sickness that you see that can be an obstacle to your serving God, receive from God to deliver you from that sickness. Whatever demonic attack that is around you, you stand strong in the Lord today and rebuke and fight. And don't ever take anything for granted. Never settle for less. Always leave the best in God. So join me as we partake the bread. Let us partake the bread this morning. And also join us in partaking the wine. We'll give this time to Ngasilevu to pray. Whatever agreement and covenant that you have had with your God this morning, believe and receive your healing, your provision, your protection, your breakthrough, your every areas of life.
Lord, we thank you. We praise your mighty name. As we come before you,
Hallelujah.
The Holy Communion,
thank you, Father.
The bread represents your body, the wine represents your blood.
Amen.
Your covenant. We thank you, Father God, as we receive today, good heart, hands to give. Good heart, hands to give.
Oh,
thank you for the teaching. Thank you for the enlightenment that we received this morning. Thank you for the blessing that we received this morning. Through the teaching, through the sharing.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you that we partake the Holy Communion. It's an added blessing into families, into relationship, and into our homes.
Amen.
We thank you, Father God, in every areas of our life, we have been blessed today. Thank you for your blessing. You releasing your blessing today. Into
Hallelujah.
Every family, worship center, into zone, into people's life. Right here, right now, this wonderful morning. We give you the glory and the honor and the praises. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray and everyone say,
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. And also for next week on Saturday, we have a scheduled Queen You Are. The initial plan was to have this for all new Methodists worldwide joining us on virtual, as well as here in Fiji. There has been a general interest from others outside new Methodists, and it's going to be happening at the National Gymnasium on Saturday, commencing at 9 o'clock in the morning for the whole day. So join us if you have nothing to do on Saturday the 20th. Come and listen to speakers that we are trying to get together, yeah. Which we have thought of this morning to make it a more interesting one other than just a new Methodist. So come and learn and listen on the Queen you are.
Because, queen you are.
God has given you that authority and the ability to be the queen. Not to be served and fanning yourself as a queen, but to have the spirit of the queen and live like a queen and command the things around you like a queen, because God has created you to be the queen you are. So join us on Saturday at the gymnasium. Call headquarters or pop in at my TV if you have further questions. On that note, we have the Foreshore live service today at 3 o'clock. As normal, we have Awanga Selebu preaching from there. Join us on the Facebook of my TV as well as the ministry one. We only have 1 hour, and straight after that, you can still join us or go with us on the New Methodist page. So join us for the 3 o'clock, and we look forward to be serving you yet with the powerful word of God. On that note, thank you. We meet again on the God of our nation next week,
amen.
March 21st. Amen.